Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Baby loves me, yes, yes she does. All the girls have a sign, yeah.
Unfortunately, as many of you are aware, there were some files that were inappropriately, unlawfully taken from the county by a former employee while he was employed. I've been working very closely with the legal office and Allison, and also with some investigators. I'm going to be very careful what I say. I'm not going to say anything that would jeopardize any portion of the investigation, but we have gone through now, and the office is going through, and we have identified a lot of information, a lot of sensitive exempt information, dozens and dozens of items, a lot of it on my family, you know, but a lot of it on other people.
So this is Commissioner Jeff Bragosch in the agenda review on Thursday, and a story that was covered quite a bit by WEAR on Friday. And yeah, Jeff had information on his, we've talked about this many times, okay? He had a lot of information on his personal cell phone. He has a county-issued phone, and then he has a personal phone. On his personal phone, as he has said, he did business for his job. He did business personally, of course, normal. And he did county business, which is also very normal. The only issue, though, is that if it's a county phone doing county or if it's a personal phone doing county business, those are public records, which are discoverable, deliverable, must be responded to if somebody has a public information request, right? Well, the text messages off of his phone that he's given like four different accounts of how these text messages came to exist in a separate file. One account is he said that it was like going on vacation and his phone was acting weird and he wanted to protect it. One account that he's given in the meeting was about how it was the memory was going bad or he was losing data or something and he couldn't buy more data, which is I don't know what that means. The actual tech who worked on the phone said that he had Apple locked himself out of it. So that was not about preserving those public records. Oh, I mean, it might have been. I don't know. It's possible. But, you know, so we've gotten all these kind of weird stories about which one is correct or not. I'm not sure to what degree it really matters, except insofar as, you know, why would you bring your personal phone over to the county to work on it? I mean, you know, that's a question. And also the question of, you know, which story is true and which one did you tell to people under oath, like, you know, who have done the investigation for this? Anyway, that's a lot in some ways beside the point. He's got all these different records on there and he says, look, they got somehow or other, they got put onto a thumb drive and they got delivered to Jonathan Owens, as we had him on, you know, the show about a month ago to talk about this. But there's a lot of information in there that should never be put out publicly.
I supervised a number of people in the engineering annex out at the base for 5 years. All three of the years in question are in those texts. So, I have employees who would send me information about medical condition, prognosis, if they were calling in sick, things of that nature. There's a lot of medical information about employees of the county, dependents on the county's plan. Not to mention social security numbers, bank account numbers, access codes, security information that would never, ever be released under any public record request.
So I have a question. Why wasn't that stuff deleted? I mean, he's right that that stuff shouldn't be disseminated. He's totally right about that. But why was it on the phone in the first place? I mean, if it's on the phone because somebody sends it to him for something, okay. Fine, but then you delete it, right? I mean, if somebody, you know, I don't know, sends me a credit card number, don't you delete that text? I do. I mean, isn't that the way you handle that kind of stuff? So, and look, you know, he's talked about there being, you know, conversations about medical conditions and maybe it's family and maybe, I don't know, maybe you don't delete those because it's, you know, you just don't think of it that same way. I can understand that. But if somebody's sending you, I don't know, he's mentioned bank account numbers, he's mentioned social security numbers, sensitive medical records. I mean, I would think you delete that. And remember, like, yes, he tried to control how that information was handled in the phone and getting the backup made, but if there's a chain of custody to the copies that are apparently running around with this thing, the first person who put out the information was Jeff when he took his phone in to get it worked on. I mean, he didn't maybe allow it to be disclosed. That's true, granted. But, you know, if you want to talk about who's responsible for the information getting out, I mean, first link is it was kept and it was then given. Anyway, so he goes on to say,
now, I understand this former employee has now gone on the radio and said he thinks the entire file is a public record, and he also did disseminate it to multiple people, unredacted. Unredacted. Now, no one's going to ask him about that because I guess that's not a good question to ask, but...
Well, he's talking about me. Okay, Jeff doesn't like to say my name. He doesn't like to say Jonathan Owen's name, but he's talking about me, the interview that I did with Jonathan. Of course, the interesting thing is I didn't ask Jonathan, you know, why he gave it to other people because he didn't actually say he gave it to other people. In fact, he never said that. Jeff keeps repeating that he said that he gave it to other people, but he did not say that. So that's kind of that's a mixture of the truth and the lies or the embellishments that are characteristic of Jeff Bergosh's portrayal of information. It's sometimes hard to tell which is which, but yeah, he just keeps saying that Jonathan gave it out of it. The PNJ, by the way, which do I have that? Let's see. I think I just want to find a clip where he actually says it. Here we go. I think this
Have brought this, but someone sent me a podcast from just this month. The 7th, and this individual says, I think it's a public record, and now the clerk's office has it. Other people have been given it, the News Journal, and this is the sort of information. You're talking about cancer diagnoses. You're talking about the prognosis, certain medications people are taking. This information would never be released. And if this individual thought it was a public record, I guess someone ought to ask him, why in the world would you release it without redacting? And he didn't, and he's going to continue to do so.
Well, I don't know who gave who what. I mean, obviously, he's not the original possessor of the information. It would have come from the IT department or somebody. And so the PNJ has a copy, but they specifically say in their article that they did not get it from Jonathan Owens. In fact, they actually went to him to corroborate that it was the same file. So again, Jeff's getting this wrong on purpose or not, I don't know. But I don't think Jonathan has ever said he gave it to anybody other than he was deposed in the Ramey Edler case, and they asked him if he knew anything else, and he told him, well, I have this file that somebody gave me, and that's how we got into the conversation about whether those records are relevant to the lawsuit with Ramey Edler. But I don't think Jonathan ever says anything like this, and the clerks have never come forward and said, no, yo, Jonathan. So, again, he's kind of mashing together things we know and things that have never been said. And as I say, I mean, embellishment is kind of the mild one. Jeff says that it is illegal to possess the information. There's a law having to do with medical records, and if you possess social security numbers because of identity theft stuff, there's a law relating to that. So he's right about that. But then Mike Kohler, because what Jeff wants to do is he wants to let the county attorney get involved and go after Jonathan and I guess whoever has the file, okay? And we'll talk about this in a second. We'll finish this up in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And I'm not showing any slowdowns or anything. It looks like 98 accident-free, not just Gulf Breeze, Navarre, but all the way through Florida into Alabama. Not showing any issues there. Warrington, not showing any issues either. And no backups right now. If you see an accident or a slowdown, if you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, yeah. Candy. So back to this conversation about the contents of the text messages on Jeff Bergosh's personal cell phone. Some news organization were reporting that it was the government issued. It was definitely not the government issued. It was the personal cell phone. Okay, let's make sure that's really clear. Somebody texts in and says, well, if he's embellishing elements about, you know, the who told who what, maybe he's embellishing what's on the phone too. I mean, could well be. It's Jeff alleges their social security numbers and whatever bank information or medical diagnosis and how many people are, and even, I think he says there's county employees stuff on there. I don't know why county employees would be sending him that stuff. When he was a supervisor at his old job that he doesn't have anymore, I could see why that might be true. Anyway, so, you know, it's kind of, you have to take some of the things that Jeff says with a grain of salt because we know he will, again, embellish. I'm being gentle, okay? Embellish is, at the very least, is true. Mike Kohler asked the question, District 2 Representative Mike Kohler.
I'm trying to limit the damage here, so I would, the attorney asked that I get help. Okay, so there's three. Allison, you need anything else?
I need to make a few comments, Jeff, because I'm with you partially, but okay. What you just said is if that was on your phone, everyone that had that should be notified that they're...
Believe me, we're in the process of doing that, Mike.
Okay, that's important.
Months.
The second thing, we requested the FBI right to give us a report. I think it's important that we get that report.
Which we don't have yet.
I do think you're a victim, and I think that no one in the county has been held accountable for that.
Well, we're working on that, too.
You're right, but we haven't done that internally, so that's an internal process problem for me.
And by the way, can I say this? He is a victim. I mean, if somebody takes your cell phone information, without your consent, you're a victim. I mean, that is true. Jeff Bergosh was a victim in this. Now, why he would have so much, you know, county business on there that, and I have never asked for any records off of Jeff Bergosh's phone, so I don't know this personally. I know other people have said they've asked for county records off of commissioners' phones, and they've always been told there are no such records. That's kind of why this all came out, is because of the allegation by other people that the county has consistently denied there are public records on the commissioners' phones, which we all know is false. We all know these people have stuff on their personal phones. Now, Jeff very stridently later on in the conversation, I think at night, said that maybe it was during the day, I forget, that, you know, nobody's ever asked for the, like, the Edler documents or whatever. Okay. I'm just saying part of the issue here is, yes, he's a victim. Part of the issue is the denial that there are such records on the phone. Again, from other people, not from me, but because I've never asked, I haven't been told no. But then you have this weird mixture of things on the phone. Why do you have people's social security numbers, bank information, medical stuff still on your phone? You delete that even if you're supervisors. But then, okay, that gets out. Yeah. If there's stuff with your family on the phone, which the PNJ had reported a text message between him and his wife, Sally, even if it's county business, I tend to think that that's personal. Even if it's about the county, because you and your wife talking is you and your wife talking. So, you know, conversations between you and your family members is, that's not public record. Unless it's, it would have to be like very specifically about county business or something like that. But, you know, conversations with your employees at an old job, that's not public business. Conversations with your, like Allison Rogers, the attorney, about pending legal matters might be public record, but not allowed to be released because of, you know, attorney-client privilege until after the case is over. And then you have, you know, county business. And then in and among that, you might have personal identifying information. And even if the record might be public, those particular data points would be redactable, right? That's not public. So Mike Kohler says, look, I don't know what we're doing here. You know, I don't know what this motion is going to be. I have questions. Jeff says, I want to prevent him from further dissemination, which again, Jonathan has, I don't think, ever said that he disseminated it to anybody other than Ramey Edler's team. And, you know, Jeff says, look, I've got nothing to hide. That's fine.
I've got nothing to hide. Anything I said on those, you know, I'm sure the news journal will make fodder. I don't care. I'm not going to back away from anything. This was personal, private stuff that was stolen. And I believe we will get to the bottom of it.
But it is weird, though, right? Like, I'm trying to work in my brain how this works. Because later on in the night, they had this conversation about tasking the attorney and her team with going after Jonathan and whoever else might be in possession of the text. I guess that would include, allegedly, Pam Childers' office has these texts. The PNJ says they have these texts. I don't know of anybody else who has said they have them. So Jeff has said loads of people have them, and okay, fine, whatever. You know, again, embellish, accurate, I don't know. But the point is, they're going to go after all of these people to stop the dissemination. But over what? I mean, if it's personal identifying information from former employees of his in his private business or job, that's not county responsibility. If it's personal communications of him, he's a victim, but that's not county responsibility. If it's county employees and their personal information, I guess that'd be county business. The question is, I don't know whether those texts are even of that subject matter. And then if the rest of it is public record, well, that's public record anyway. So I'm not clear what the justification is for the county to get involved in this and spend taxpayer time of staff and or money pursuing it. I suppose time will tell. I don't know. He seems to be working really hard to keep this stuff out of public view, which he says is to protect the sensitive or personal information. But again, I'm not sure why that's a county responsibility, as Mike Kohler asked.
Here's my problem, Jeff.
Yeah.
I've been in part of electronic health records breaches before. Mm-hmm. There is a process for that. I don't know why you had that stuff on your phone. Don't know. I
attempted to explain it. I had employees that worked for
it. I still don't understand it. But that's okay. You said that's why.
Yeah. So anyway, Mike more wants to figure out what happened internally before he starts authorizing the county attorney to go to war over all of this. There's more. We'll talk about it a little bit later on in the show. But that was the first meeting. That was the agenda review. A lot of that conversation. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue as well as your reputation.
That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The Corleone family wants to buy you out.
The Corleone family wants to buy me out. No, I buy you out, you don't buy me out.
BB's in the plastic egg shaking.
That's what it is, yeah.
626 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. People keep texting and saying things like, who keeps social security numbers on their phone and bank accounts? You know, like, what? Who's doing that? And again, I'll repeat what I said before. Mike Kohler's right. Jeff Bergosh is definitely a victim in this. No doubt about it. But there are also other elements of the story worth asking, right? I mean, that's not the only truth in the story. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I have a bunch of stuff on my phone. I'd be mortified if and I
delete it.
I don't. I never delete anything. You know me. Oh, man. I hoard. That's what I get it. As we take a look around, good news is we're not showing anything. Slowdowns or delays. I mentioned 98. That is accident-free. 29 also accident-free. Again, from the Atmore cutoff in Molina through Cantonment. 9 Mile not showing any delays. Looks like Car City also good to go. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, text them in if you could. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you're thinking about that next home or thinking about buying or selling for the first time, and you want somebody who's going to take great care of you. You know, Christina Leavenworth, I mean, she's fantastic, and we always talk about her. But one of the things that I realize that I do too much probably is I talk about her and not enough about her team. So I'm kind of featuring her team over the last couple of weeks. And, like, this is a post up on the Leavenworth Realty website. Nicole writes, "The best experience buying my first home, I'd use Caitlin again any day and recommend her. Any day and recommend her to everyone. I was hesitant about buying, but this was the most stress-free process. She helped work out all of the details. She knew I was set on a particular house and helped me go for it, checking in along the way to make sure I was okay. The biggest thing for me was when my dad flew in from Texas. She helped him surprise me after not seeing him for almost 2 years. She treated us like friends and family, not like a client." And so I kind of stumbled into this expression where, you know, Christina surrounds herself with people that are like-minded and like-hearted. And that's really the truth. Like, she just has such a heart for helping people and has surrounded herself with other people who are just like that and can represent her so well in that regard. So you're buying, you're selling, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158. David Wayne is back in his chair in the newsroom where he must stay chained down forever. David, what's going on, sir?
Well, today is the 22nd anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks. Of course, families of the nearly 3,000 victims will be gathering today at the World Trade Center Memorial in Manhattan. They'll have a big ceremony. They read the names of people killed and the tolling of bells, moments of silence. Dr. Anthony Fauci in the news again. He says a repeat of 2020's COVID outbreak is unlikely despite a recent uptick in cases across the nation. He was on ABC News and says he is not expecting a new federal mask mandate.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 629 on News Radio 92.3. When you go on vacation, do you order drinks? Sure, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
would you order a beer on vacation? Well, you don't drink beer so much.
I have drank before, yes, and absolutely, yeah.
How about shots of beer? Do you ever do the shots of beer thing? I've never understood
before.
That approach, but
oh, you know, sure, so
unless
you
you're doing
them.
Like, well, tasters,
they,
like a flight.
They do the flights,
yeah,
right,
but
right,
this is
sure.
Like, I guess, just real, like, shots of beer. I don't really understand that.
Yeah, sure.
Because that's whatever,
I'm not
but okay.
I'm anti-drinking. I just,
right, it's something
you know
that
what happens,
do.
Andrew, yes.
So,
yes.
In Greece, in the island of Corfu, the Greek Tax Independent Public Revenue Authority, they were doing some investigation of some bars across Corfu because... they were worried about, you know, smuggling and inappropriate serving and violation of the liquor laws and quality and safety control. What they stumbled on instead is that apparently it was a thing on Corfu to take the 3 ounces of beer you didn't drink,
mm-hmm.
pour it in a vat, and then reserve it to other people as shots of beer. Widespread, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of fraud
related.
Oh my related.
God, like a frat house?
The
That's
reselling
so gross.
Of the beer swill as shots. I guess I figure if you're buying shots of beer, you won't know the difference.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Today, the nation marks the 22nd anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks, remembers the nearly 3,000 people who lost their lives today and the first responders and others impacted by 9/11-related illnesses. President Biden will head to Alaska to commemorate 9/11 from a military base in Anchorage in a break from tradition. He's wrapping up his trip to Vietnam.
Everyone in both our countries is working to make sure the people, no matter who they are, can seize potential.
Biden also paid his respect at a memorial to his friend and former colleague, John McCain. At the U.S. Open,
Novak Djokovic reclaims his crown in New York and reaches his 24th major championship.
That sound courtesy of ESPN. 19-year-old American Coco Gauff won the women's final. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31. It's News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 72 right now. Partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola today. Family members have identified the victim of a fatal shooting Saturday morning as being 38-year-old Jarvis Johnson.
This shouldn't have happened to him at all. You know, he was in his own comfort zone, minding his own business, and, you know, this happened to him.
That's his sister, Calandria Johnson, and she's urging the gunmen to turn themselves in. Investigators are still working to determine who the shooter was and why they pulled the trigger. The sheriff's office currently asking anybody with information on this shooting to contact them or to call Crime Stoppers. A Pensacola man is now facing charges after deputies say they found some illegal narcotics in his vehicle over the weekend. 37-year-old Jeremy Chadwick was arrested on Saturday. The sheriff's office says he was arrested after deputies and a canine unit investigated a suspicious vehicle report near the 6,000 block of North W Street. Deputies say after searching that vehicle, they found cocaine, methamphetamine, marijuana, illegal steroids, and a rifle with ammunition. Chadwick was the owner of the vehicle, and he was taken to the Escambia County Jail. Well, there was a big crowd over the weekend. They were gathered for good gumbo. Cars, and of course a great cause, the Gumbo Cook-Off and Car Show for the local Haji Shriners.
These great men spend all their time putting back to their community and also the children of the Children's Hospital. It's really cool to be able to do, but the camaraderie and the friendship here is really profound.
That it was celebrity judge Eric Hansen there, and he says he was able to sample gumbo from 14 different competing teams during the event. And all the money that was raised went to the local Haji Shriners and, of course, also to the Shriners Hospital. They provide free medical care for kids with unique medical conditions. Well, a police officer in Tampa recovering today after being hit by a vehicle over the weekend. That officer was responding to a call about somebody sleeping near some railroad tracks. And the officer, as he was returning to his vehicle, was hit by a driver in a Ford F-150 pickup truck, drug about 75 feet. That officer taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. And the driver that hit the officer reportedly is cooperating with police in this case. Opening Doors of Northwest Florida has now brought in a consultant. It's their first step in the effort to create a new governance board as part of a plan to reduce homelessness here in our area. According to the PNJ, Opening Doors is now working with a nonprofit consultant and chief operating officer for the Florida Housing Coalition, Amanda Rosado. The organization has set up a committee that's comprised of community members, advocates for the homeless, local officials, and organization staff. They'll be evaluating a new governance structure. The names of the committee members have not been confirmed as of yet. Opening Doors does serve the areas as the area's official continuum of care organization, which coordinates with the federal government to address homelessness. Rosato reportedly telling the organization that having a separate governing body is best, makes for larger, more diverse representation. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the 5 with Candy.
Hey, good news. Not showing any slowdowns or delays right now. It looks like everything is running smoothly so far. It looks like 87 just fine. Taking a look at Avalon and Garcon Point, not showing any issues there. And 90 clear from Milton and DePace into Pensacola. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with just a small chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies with a high near 93. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Tuesday, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 92. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 75. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. And right now, 72 in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, and 70 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Instacart is targeting a valuation of $8.6 to $9.3 billion in its imminent IPO, a fraction of what the grocery delivery company was previously worth, in the latest sign of diminished investor enthusiasm for private growth companies. Instacart is set to start marketing its long-anticipated initial public offering to investors today. The shares are expected to begin trading next week on the NASDAQ under the ticker CART, C-A-R-T. E-commerce giant Alibaba is ratcheting up efforts to expand its business in the U.S. by adding features such as an upgraded image search on its cross-border wholesale platform. In addition to the new search, Alibaba has new intelligent communication tools to help convert speech to text as live subtitles. Alibaba is also celebrating Super September on its B2B platform with a month-long sale, with the sellers of a combined 70 million products joining the festival. On Wall Street, futures are higher. And that's Your Money Now.
So how are things?
Oh, great. Katie just bought herself a new bike with her own money.
What? My kids spend all their money on video games. How'd you get Katie to save?
Just a little education. Did you know China prioritizes teaching financial literacy starting in preschool?
That's so smart. American kids don't seem to hear a word about it in their classrooms. And I really can't teach it at home. They're being left behind.
Actually, we can help at home, thanks to the Sensibles.
The Sensibles?
Mm-hmm. They're a team of animated superheroes who help kids ages 6 to 12 to develop smart money habits in a fun way. Katie gets a Sensibles kit in the mail with a great DVD, a comic book, and other fun activities each month. She also gets access to an interactive website with a library of lessons, other fun activities, and lots more.
Oh, that's perfect. I'm signing my kids up today.
Visit bcs-kids.com today and enter promo code SENT for 20% off. Digital subscriptions also available. Subscribe at bcs-kids.com. That's C-E-N-T. It's the sensible thing to do.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in this morning at 9 as ProHealth will be the guest and be discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take out the stress and the cost of healthcare. That's this morning at 9 as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
All I do
Fisher back to pass. Argos bring some pressure up the middle. They're going to chase him out of the pocket. Lunchtime. Aiden Sweat all over him. John McMullen meets him at the quarterback. It's a big sack. It's back into McKendry territory. The Argos force it over on downs. Fisher back to pass. Pressure coming. Sweat's going to get him. Takes him to the ground. Aiden Sweat there. John McMullen right behind him. Jake Dorn, too. Three Argos meet at the quarterback. Fisher back to pass on the next down. Argos are coming to get him. They hit him. Ball is floated. If somebody can turn around, they got an interception, and they do. Picked off at the inside the 10-yard line. And McKendry fans trying to get back into this game a little bit. Time running out. There's a jump. It's a free play. John Giles catches it over here outside the 30, goes up the sideline, pulls a defender, stays on his feet. John Giles has got a blocker. He's got Caden Leggett. He's going to go all the way for the touchdown. John Giles scores again.
Sack for loss, sack for loss, interception, 77-yard touchdown. I think that's a pretty good summary of the 35-3 blowout of McKendry University by UWF in Lebanon, Illinois, over the weekend. Joining us now, we have the communications director for the UWF Argos Athletic Department, Brian Henry. Brian, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
What did we wind up with? 7 sacks for a loss. Is that right?
Yeah, I think 7 sacks and then 12 tackles for loss.
Oh, my God.
Real close. The school records were 9 and 14, so there's still room for improvement.
Yeah, 35-3, there's room for improvement. Now, obviously on the defense, unbelievable work. I mean, the defense is ridiculous this year. That's 6 combined points in 2 games. Is that right?
It is, and 0 touchdowns.
Wow, yep. That's phenomenal. On the offensive side, things I would say are we still have the big weapons. We still have a lot of receivers. What was it, 8 receivers? There's something crazy, ridiculous like that in the game.
Yeah, it usually most road games they'll travel 10 receivers. And so, yes, 6 to 8 will get catches. A couple will throw to the running back a lot more this year. We've thrown to the tight end both games. I mean, that's not – the plays were there last in previous times, but they didn't always call them. This time they're calling that play.
And so, I mean, the offense has its capability, but I also saw a lot of fourth downs. And, yes, we converted a fourth down here, converted a fourth down there. Trick play. I can't believe we ran a fake punt on McKendry up 28-3. That's
I was a little curious myself. That's why I asked Coach Nobles about it, and he said that Coach Remsick said, yeah, let's try it. And they went for it, and it worked. It just was the holding call downfield.
But, yeah.
Good to know we've got that excitement.
But, yeah, no, and I love that he said we're not saving any trick plays for later. We're just learning how to do our stuff, and we'll do our stuff when it's appropriate. But the offense did seem to have some struggles and penalties. Oh, my God, the penalties.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you don't want that to be a recurring theme, but unfortunately the first game it was a lot of dead ball penalties and personal foul, like celebrations, unsportsmanlike conduct. This one there were – a handful of holding calls. And that's, the offensive line is as good as they are. They're not as deep probably as they've been in the past. But it's, and I know you don't have time, but it's just going to take some time and practice for them to work on that. And you don't really get a breather next week against FAMU. And then the week after that, against West Georgia. So, I mean, it's, you got to learn now and get it under control.
So this is something that obviously the game against FAMU is going to be a bigger deal. This is a Division I team. You know, they're not the top of Division I, but they're certainly, you know, they're no Division II team at all. How are we looking for this weekend?
I mean, we're a little banged up. The Will Breland and Nathan Sweat both had injuries at points in the game. So hopefully they're able to come back this week. Cody Lowe has been out the first couple of games, and they haven't rushed him back because they knew they didn't need him for these first two on the defensive side of the ball. It's football's a physical game. You're going to have injuries, so you just got to play through them sometimes and play in pain. And Florida A&M's going to be the toughest team we play all year, probably. They're ranked 21st in the FCS level. They they hung with South Florida this last weekend. They lost by 10 or 14, 30. I think it was 34 to 24, 38 to 24.
Oh, I think I said UCF. I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah, they've beaten Jackson State and South Florida in their two games. And so, I mean, it'll be a tough game. I mean, they've got more scholarships, more money, bigger budget. That's why they play at that level. So it's just a chance for us to prove ourselves against them.
How I think you might have mentioned, I might have, my ear might have blinked for a second, but Will Breland was injured in this game. How's he looking?
It was a high ankle, lower leg. I think we just took the helmet to the low shin area or whatever.
Okay.
And so it's just a matter of ice and see how his body responds. I'm sure it's one of those where he probably won't practice for a few days while they evaluate and let him get back to 100%, because you need your legs when you're going to run and drive and try to tackle people. So hopefully he's good to go. I mean, he's kind of the leader of that defense. And so you don't want to lose somebody that's been around for 2 years and knows everything to do about UWF football.
Right, right. Other sports, we've got volleyball coming up this weekend?
Yeah, volleyball hosts their walk-on TWF Invitational this weekend. They just got back from their annual trip to Denver for the Colorado Premier Challenge, and they played three top 15 teams. We went 1-3, but they were competitive. They were placed into the highest bracket, playing for like the overall championship, not bracket B or C. And so it's another loaded Melissa Walter volleyball program. So they've got, they only play three matches on the weekend, but there's five on Friday and, or four on Friday and five on Saturday. So there is plenty of volleyball to watch at the UWF Fieldhouse on campus this week.
And always a party, always a fun environment, certainly with an always competitive UWF Lady Argos volleyball team. Brian Henry is the UWF Argos Director of Athletic Communications. Brian, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for the information, and go Argos.
Go Argos, Andrew.
All right, sir. 646 on News Radio 92.3. By the way, you can always listen to the Argos games on our sister station, ESPN Pensacola, AM 1330 and FM 99.1. That's how I listen to the games, and it's always a good time. Will Kennedy does such a good job calling them.
He does.
Candy's got traffic on the fives.
All right, not showing any slowdowns. Taking a look over by UWF, 9 mile clear, all of 90, not. I should say none of 90 is showing any delays. I say that right. Anyway, be careful wherever you are. Chase Gregory taking a look downtown Garden and Palafox, all checking in clear as well. 437-1620 if you have those traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Oh, I have tickets to give away. I love to give stuff away. I've got, let's see. Oh, no, excuse me. sometimes they
I was gonna
tell
say
us,
the afternoon
sometimes
does.
Sometimes they tell us to promote them. Sometimes they tell us the tickets, and I am dense. The afternoon show might, but listen to News Radio for a chance to win. Not now. Sorry, my mistake. To win a pair of tickets to Always a Bridesmaid at the Pensacola Little Theater. So we'll be giving those away at some point, just not right now. I apologize. 647 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to buy a good quality used car. And the question I ask, and I know it's a little bit of an uncomfortable question, but it's do you love your car? You ought to. You know, if you're kind of like, don't ask, well, that's time to get another one, all right? Because you shouldn't have to, based on where you are in life, you should not have to endure your car, right? I mean, you're better than that. So go to Frontier, find a car that you can fall in love with, that you can really feel good about, and instead of feeling like, oh, I got to get in this car again, you know, don't do that. Don't keep doing that. Go ahead and go to Frontier and find one that you can really enjoy and, you know, just kind of, you spend enough time in it. It shouldn't have to be that kind of relationship. Anyway, Frontier Motors, a great source of good quality used cars you can love again. For more than 25 years, they've been serving the Pensacola community right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
It's not too late. Enroll today for fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. That's right, loan-free. PSC offers more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that works best for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for fall classes today at PensacolaState.edu. Go here, get there. Pensacola State College.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. At Anderson, we know Subarus are built better, and we're not the only ones who think so. Subarus earn more IIHS Top Safety Pick Plus awards than Honda, Toyota, or Hyundai brands since 2013 as of July 2023. When it comes to safety, Subarus are better. And when it comes to longevity, well, Subaru wins there too. According to a study by Experian Automotive, Subaru leads the industry in longevity with 96% of vehicles sold in the last 10 years still on the road today. More than Honda or Toyota brands. Hands down, Subaru has the longest lasting vehicles in the automotive industry, all of which makes it easy to love a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Visit us on Highway 29 just north of Car City, Pensacola, or shop us online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Based on Experian Automotive non-luxury vehicles in operation excluding trucks and vans versus total new registrations for model years 2013 through 2022 as of December 2022.
Hey, this is Cole with Commander Air. Is your home comfort still being subjected to outdated air conditioning technology? The revolutionary Daikin Fit system with its modern compact design will change the way you feel about your heating and cooling system. With its industry-leading 12-year parts and labor warranties, consistent temperatures, energy savings, and an extremely quiet operation that makes your outdoor living space just as perfect as your indoor. As your local Daikin Comfort Pro, Commander Air can take your home comfort to the next level with the industry-changing Daikin Fit system. Commander Air, your local heating and cooling specialist for three generations.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Guy Benson talks to the big newsmakers every day from 2 to 4 before Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My heart only runs on Supreme.
National average for gallon of gas, 383. Florida, 360. Things haven't budged in a while. 326 is the best in Mississippi. The worst in the land is 543 in California. 333 east of the Walmart. 332 west of the Walmart's in Navarre. 328 at Murphy across from the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge. 349 in proper. 331 at the CEFCO in Milton. Same at the Pea Ridge. Murphy, 335 at a couple stations in Pace going through Highway 90. Walmart on 9 Mile, 324. Same at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And then coming in from the southwest side, I always got a, this one's one that varies a little bit more. 332 at the Navy Murphy. 652 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Rescue efforts are continuing in Morocco after that magnitude 6.8 earthquake. More than 2,100 people so far are confirmed dead. That death toll expected to rise even more. The CDC says a new round of COVID boosters could be available in the U.S. in a couple of days. The independent panel of advisors for the CDC is set to meet on Tuesday to recommend who will be eligible and recommended to get the shots. The FDA also expected to approve the boosters. And have you been following the situation in New Mexico? The governor there has suspended the right of citizens to carry guns in public in Albuquerque.
I've seen a little bit about this. Yeah, go on.
Well,
because it's an open carry state, right?
It is an open carry state. And Democrat Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham signed an emergency order on Friday that bans both concealed and open carry of firearms in public places in Albuquerque.
The purpose is to try to create a cooling off period while we figure out how we can better address public safety and gun violence.
And the order will be in effect for 30 days, at least 30 days, they say. And it's the governor says anyway, in response to a rash of shootings in the city of Albuquerque. But a lot of people not on board with it. The Albuquerque police chief has vowed not to enforce it.
Well, yeah. I mean, so the state would have the power, right, to set a rule like that. I mean, unless they don't preempt in New Mexico. But if you have a state rule, I'm not sure what authority the – who said –
the governor.
So the governor, but the emergency powers by the governor – I'm just not sure whether he's got the authority to do that.
Right. And it's from what a lot of people are saying, it may be in violation of the state constitution there.
So. Yeah, it wouldn't actually be a Second Amendment case. You know, that's your first natural inclination is a Second Amendment violation. But since states have the authority, at least so far, states have the authority to set policy on, you know, open carry or not, if they can prohibit that. Concealed carry is a little different one, though, because you have to allow some kind of carrying capability because the Constitution says to, you know, keep and bear, and to bear means to carry. I would think that's probably he's exceeding probably Second Amendment authority, possibly state authority. But, yeah, weird story. You know, like, we're just going to no guns. we're going to try to make it a gun-free zone to solve this violence problem.
It'll definitely be one of those issues that I guess we'll have to follow and see, because what they do, there's a lot of other states that may want to kind of follow suit at some point.
Yeah, well, and again, you say there's a rash of violence in Albuquerque.
There's always a rash of violence in Albuquerque,
it's a big city.
Yeah.
There's always violence, right? All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. If you have a loved one, probably your parents, that maybe you've been helping them with some stuff that they're having more and more difficulty doing, you know, because, you know, maybe they have trouble cleaning and cooking and, you know, you have to drive them around because maybe it's not good for them to drive themselves, or maybe it's bathing or dressing, you know, toileting, things like that. Maybe you've already got somebody kind of coming in to help them with this stuff, and it's really still getting to be too much for you, too much for them, too much for the help. That's when you start talking about assisted living. And it's just, I know you might think, like, I'm never putting them in a nursing home. Okay, they're different. They are different. Assisted living is meant to be the place where your loved ones can live independently, but get the help, whatever level of help they need, so that they can live independently. That's the idea. But even once you make the decision, like, you know, that's what we want to do, then where do you go? Because there's like 30 local ones. How do you pick? This is where my good friend John Horton comes in. He is an expert in this. This is all he does, is he helps people navigate this terrain, understand where your loved ones are at, what their level of need is, what they can afford, you know, and then what's the right place culture-wise for them and their level of need so they can have the best quality of life they can get. And he charges nothing for you. Nothing. You don't pay anything for this service. He'll just help. 712-0887. The company is called Assisted Living Locators. You can look him up at assistedlivinglocators.com or just call him on his cell phone, 712-0887. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And that was brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for no hassle estimate. That's 250-3756. Fairfield not showing any problems at all, and all clear from 12th all the way through to Palafox and W Street. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, text them in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. 657 here on News Radio 92.3. We'll probably talk about that one in future news. Oh, NorthEscambia.com has a really interesting post. Did you see about how they've changed the intersection of Highway 297A and Pine Forest? So if you're on 297A going to Pine Forest, you're going to go south towards the interstate, you have a dedicated turn. But people, dedicated turns never feel right. They always feel like you're so conditioned to think of that as a lookout for traffic. And if traffic is coming, you got to be careful.
Right.
And so a couple of places, they have now been adding the, like, little pylons to protect that lane, to show you that you have a protected turn lane. Like when you get off on Avalon, I think that's still set up that way off of I-10, that it should, you know, like, well, you can't, it's fine, we just keep going. But it is one of those, like, brain things. You're so trained not to think that way about turning traffic. Well, same thing at Highway 297. They put in the little white, I think they are, little, you know, posts, the PVC posts or whatever you want to call them, to facilitate people turning right there and not stopping, which hiccups the traffic. So, well done. I mean, that's fantastic. 6:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Get to future news here in just a second. Sorry about that, Candy. All right, future news here. Sorry about that. Will the Biden administration stop talking to social media companies after they lost a panel review of the policy saying you shouldn't be telling social media companies what they should and shouldn't publish? They were involved in trying to restrict COVID information particularly, and other things, the Hunter Biden story and that kind of stuff. So will they actually stop doing this, talking to social media companies? I think they will. I think they will cool off a little bit on this. I think they will. Will we continue to publicly discuss the fairly substantial amount of EMS uncollectible bad debt write-off in Escambia County publicly?
No.
I hate to say it. I think the commissioners are going to move to put that behind closed doors, which apparently other counties do. I think it's actually a bragging point that we do it in public. As long as you explain to people this isn't lost money, this is money that we're just unable to collect and everybody else is unable to collect too. Text messages from Jeff Bergosh. Will the county attorney be able to get good action against, Jonathan Owens and anybody else to stop redistributing them?
No.
I don't think so.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.